Should CPA licensure requirements change as a result of the technological revolution that's transforming the accounting profession? I'm Chris Basden, and that's the key question that I'll be talking about on today's JFA podcast with Carl Mays, the Associate Director for CPA Quality and Evolution at the AICPA. Carl, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Absolutely. Carl, I think it's safe to say that potential licensure changes is a topic that CPAs are extremely passionate about, and with good reason. Maybe the best way to address it is to start with a little background. Can you talk a little bit about how technology is changing the work that CPAs do?
Yeah, it's changing not just the way that services are performed, but the types of services that we perform. So, just as examples, we're seeing really an explosion in the number of SOC engagements that are being performed. And we're seeing, traditional SOCs, so SOC 1s and 2s and 3s, but we're also seeing cybersecurity engagements being performed and so on. And that's a real growth area for a lot of firms out there in practice. So that's one area where maybe it's kind of newer, different skill sets required. But in terms of how we perform our procedures, that's also changing. So we're seeing increasingly the stuff that I used to do as a staff accountant being done either by paraprofessionals, it's being automated, or it's being offshored. And that really changes the types of skills and competencies that a newly licensed CPA needs to demonstrate.
What do these changes mean for the profession as a whole?
I personally view them as a tremendous opportunity. When Barry Malanson, our CEO, talks about it, he likes to compare it to, back when the audit became mandatory for public companies. And I think it is that type of atmosphere right now. We have a huge market out there, especially with respect to controls and cyber, the risks around IT, and so on, that we have the competencies, we have the background to fill, but we have to upskill. We have to make sure that we have, requisite skills around technology and analytics to fill these new demands of our clients. And we have to make sure that we have a pipeline of talent coming through our licensure process that can allow us to do that.
So it sounds like one of the pieces of good news here is that there's some business development opportunities. Is that right?
I think it's absolutely an opportunity, and I think the largest firms are seeing that. So when you look at the top 100 firms and you look at their hiring practices and their growth in hiring, year over year for the past 10 years or so, you see about 5% growth in hiring of CPAs, but hiring of non-CPA professionals who are serving clients is up about 10% year over year, and that's because they're seeing this opportunity out there in practice.
So you talked a little bit about the skills. How can the CPA profession adapt to all of this change? Part of that's going to have to do with the skills, right?
Yeah, I think it's two things. I think, one, you have existing CPAs, and then, two, you have the pipeline that's coming in. And CPA evolution is really focused on the latter. With respect to existing CPAs, I think we need to adopt that mindset of learn, unlearn, relearn. And that starts with understanding that certain things that I was tested on and certain things that I did in practice and that others have done are not going to be relevant 10 years from now. They're just not going to be done anymore because they'll be automated or we'll find better ways to do them leveraging technology. But there are new ways to serve our clients and provide value to our clients. And we need to anticipate what those are going to be and train ourselves up and upskill collectively as a profession in order to support them. But the second avenue is around licensure, and I think that's really what CPA evolution is all about.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought CPA evolution up again because you mentioned it earlier, and I wanted to ask, can you tell us a little bit about exactly what is CPA evolution? What's the initiative about, and how does it relate to what we're talking about?
Yep. So CPA evolution is a joint effort between us, the AICPA, and NASBA, the National Association of State Boards of Accountancy, to look at CPA licensure and consider how how the framework of licensure, how our licensure model should evolve and how it should transform in order to address these trends that we're seeing in practice. I can tell you from my personal perspective, the biggest goal is to ensure that we have a pipeline of talent coming into the profession that's providing our clients with the skills and competencies necessary to execute our core services. There's also a public protection aspect of CPA evolution. We want to make sure that the folks who are performing our core services are subject to a code of professional conduct or subject to, you know, regulatory oversight. And I think from a NASBA perspective, that's why it's so important for state boards to get behind it.
So what has happened so far with this initiative? Can you give me a sense of how far are you into it? You know, where exactly are you at in the process? Are we in the first quarter, the second quarter, halftime, or has the game not even started yet?
I don't know what the football analogy would be, but I can tell you, so last year we reached out to a number of different stakeholders. We got feedback from them in terms of broadly what direction should we go with this initiative. And as a result of that feedback, starting here in 2019, we've rolled out 5 principles. And those principles are meant to help guide us as we seek to develop a new licensure model for the profession. So we've run those by AICPA Council. We've run them by state boards, by academia and business and industry, and literally at least 24 different stakeholder groups to gather their input. And that process is still ongoing right now.
So I'm interested in what some of the feedback that you've gotten about on the principles, but I think first we need to talk about what are the principles. So give me the first two if you can, and then we'll get into the rest as well.
Yeah, so I just kind of address them from a high level rather than, kind of reading them off. So the first one is focused on the fact that we as a profession are seeing disruption, technological disruption, and we need to adapt to address that disruption and to take advantage of the opportunities that disruption presents to us. The second one and the third one are really around the fact that, the skills that we're talking about, skills around technology and understanding of IT controls and risks and understanding of business intelligence, these are vitally important, not just to our future, but also to today, to the core services that we conduct today. And the third one gets into the fact that we believe, and NASBA believes, that our licensure approach needs to evolve based on what we're seeing out there. So, that kind of leads, we think, logically to the fourth principle, which is that since those skills and competencies are so vital to our future, so vital to serving our clients, we need to develop a licensure approach that's attractive to folks who have those competencies, who have analytical competencies and technological competencies, and those may not be the candidates that we have sought to attract in the past. That's not saying that these folks won't have deep knowledge of the things that we have always been known for, business acumen. They have to know accounting. They're going to be certified public accountants. They have to understand accounting. But you may see more focus and more depth in our educational process, in our exam process, on technology, on business intelligence and predictive analytics. And that gets to the last principle, and that's around the speed with which we need to change. We believe it needs to be a rapid change that's still done deliberately, and we'll just emphasize that rapid doesn't necessarily mean done without being thorough and deliberate. And it also needs to be done in a way such that we don't lose a generation of talent. So we need to do it in a smart way so that the folks currently in the pipeline they still have a meaningful path and a reasonable path to get into the profession.
So that's great. Let me ask you this directly, because I think this is probably a question that a lot of practitioners might have. What happens with the core accounting knowledge requirements? Will they be lessened?
Yeah, so it's a good question. And I think what this gets to is, what do we test today? What are folks required to learn today? How relevant is that to our future? And how does that affect the answer to your question? I can tell you, for me personally, what I would envision is an accounting core that is maybe a little bit more deep and maybe a little less broad. When I personally took my exam prep courses, the first thing that they teach you is that the exam is a mile wide and an inch deep. Maybe we'd like it to be a little bit more than an inch deep in the areas that are most important to us. And I think that's a byproduct of adding over time, you know, all kinds of different areas that are important to different interest groups and so on. I think the time is now really, and the exam team is working on this, to pare back some of that content to focus on what's really most important. What does a second year newly licensed CPA really need to know? And I think once we get to that, there will be an opportunity to build in additional material into our exam, into our educational requirements that are focused on technology, that are focused on business intelligence.
So, Carl, one of the principals mentions attracting non-accounting majors to the profession. That obviously would be a big change. What concerns are you hearing about that, and how do you respond to them?
Yeah, I think the primary concern that we're hearing is that it's going to dilute the credential. It's going to dilute the brand of the CPA if we bring in folks who aren't from the same path or didn't go through the same path that all of us historically went through. And I think a couple things to emphasize there. One, we are not talking about, you know, making non-accounting folks CPAs. We're talking about folks who have a base in accounting, who have the requisite business acumen to call themselves CPAs. But I think we also have to look at our past. We have to look at how we've evolved as a profession over time. And this is another step in that evolution. When the skills and competencies required to perform our core services and that are demanded by our clients evolve, we have to evolve too. And we're already seeing that in practice, we need to see that through our licensure approach as well.
Is there any other feedback that you've gotten from members that you think is important to point out here, you know, whether positive or negative? Anything jump to your mind?
I think there are two primary things that we've heard from the folks who have responded, and we really appreciate, you know, the hundreds of folks who have already sent in their comments because I personally literally read every one of them. The first one is support for the fact that we do need more technology. We do need more analytics in our licensure process. We need more of that in our educational requirements, and we need more of that in our exam requirements. But there's questions about what does that do to the core? What does that mean in terms of, you know, licensing folks who maybe were a little bit different than the folks who we traditionally have focused on? And in both of those areas, I'd say we're listening. We're reading every comment that we receive, and all of those comments are kind of being rolled up with pros and cons associated with all the different points and suggestions that we've heard, and will ultimately be presented and considered by the leadership of both NASBA and the AICPA.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how are you using the feedback? Is there anything you want to add to that about what you're doing with it? And if so, you know, what's the timeline for that?
Yeah, so the timeline, we will we'll have some discussions over the next month with those two leadership groups, the leadership of AICPA and NASBA. And what we'll do then is we'll start thinking about what would a model that's responsive to this feedback, but that adheres to the principles that we think are so important, what would a model like that look like? And we'll start to build that out. The feedback that we've heard will be summarized and presented to AICPA Council in the fall, and it'll also be presented at NASBA's annual meeting in October. And from there, we'll lay out anticipated next steps, and, you know, those are TBD.
Sure. Do you think this will impact the exam at all, or is it way too early to say?
Oh, I think it will definitely impact the exam. I think the intent is to impact both the exam and the educational requirements. And, you know, it's important to note that the exam team has already undertaken a practice analysis, which we see as an incremental step toward a longer-term change in how our overall model works. But that practice analysis is underway, and they're looking at coming out with an exposure draft and with invitation to comment in the December timeframe. So we're working hand in glove with exam.
So where should CPAs go if they want to learn more about CPA evolution, or if they want to provide feedback?
They should go to evolutionofcpa.org. That's a joint website that the AICPA and NASBA have put together, and there's lots of good stuff on there. There's, our principles word for word as agreed to by AICPA and NASBA leadership. There's a Q&A, a series of frequently asked questions on there, and there's an area where you can enter your input right into the website, or you can download a request for input that provides a little bit more background, and then you can email your responses in.
That's great. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thank you to our audience for listening today.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.